Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and we are zooming towards the end of Maseches Edyos. Today we are beginning Perekhes, which is the last chapter in the Masechta. Today we'll be learning Mishnayos Aleph and Beis. Mishnah Aleph tells us, Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Becerra al dam nevelos shehu tahor. Rabbi Yeshua ben Becerra testified about the blood of nevela, of an animal that's improperly slaughtered, that it is clean, ritually pure. Heid Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra al efer chatas shenoga tameh b'miktaso. Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra testified about the ashes of the paraduma that touched something impure in part of them. Shetimeas kulo, that impurifies the entirety of them. Hosef Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva added to this, al hasoles, about flour, v'al hakatoris, and about the incense, v'al halavona, and the frankincense, v'hagachalim, and the coals, shenaga tvu yom b'miktsasan, that if a person who has been to the mikvah and just needs to wait for nightfall before he's purified, if he touches a portion of any of these things, shepasal es kulo, then he invalidates all of them. Let's look in the Bart Neuro. Heid Rabbi Yeshua al dam hanevelos shehu tahor. Rabbi Yeshua testified regarding the blood of nevela, that it's pure. Miltame ki nevelas bekezias. It doesn't impurify like a nevela through an olive-sized piece. Aval mitame berevias. But it does impurify through a revias, a quarter lug, that's a measure of blood. She'en lecha davar shiyitma damo kibasro ela hasheres belvad. Because the only thing whose blood impurifies the same way as the thing itself is a sheretz. So this really just teaches us that nevela is not the same as a sheretz. Ula'el reish perek hei, the tanadam nevelos beis shamai matarin. And above, at the beginning of the fifth chapter, when beis shamai said that the blood of nevela is pure, lagamrei hayu beis shamai matarin. Beis shamai held it was completely pure. Beis Hillel metamin, and Beis Hillel said that it impurified. Aval lo kinevela shemetame bekezias el berevias. But even there, when Beis Hillel says that it impurifies, again, that's not like a sheretz through a kezias, that's rather through a revias, as we said here. So now when talking about the ashes of the paraduma, shenoga tamei b'miktsaso, shetime eskulo. If somebody who's impure touches a portion of them, they impurify the entirety of them. Maila asu b'kodesh u'be'efer achatas. So this is a special level of stringency that they made when it comes to sanctified things and when it came to the ashes of the paraduma. Sha'af al pi shehein gufim chalukim. Even though they're made up of particles, they're not one solid mass. Im munachim betoch kli echad. If they're all gathered together in a single vessel. V'naga davar shehu mitame l'kodesh b'miktsasan. And something that can impurify sanctified things touches a portion of them. Nitzmu b'kulan. Then the entirety is impurified. Shehakli mitzarfin l'hachshivan ki'ilu hein guf echad. Because the fact that they're gathered in a kli makes them as if they're all a single mass. Basmechuha akra d'ksiv. And they base this on a pasuk which tells us, kaf achas asara zahav malea ketores. So it's talking about a single ladle full of ketores. Hakasuv ase l'kol ma shebekaf achas. And the verse treats everything that's in the ladle as a single unit. Hosef Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva added to this. So he gave us a list of other things, and he told us that if a tvul yom, who is someone who went to the mikveh and is waiting for nightfall, if that person touches a portion of them, he invalidates all of them. So de ilu me eduso shall Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra lo shamanu ela al hatameh. So from the testimony of Rabbi Shimon, we only learn about someone who's actually impure. Ubar Rabbi Akiva v'hosif afilu tvul yom. And Rabbi Akiva comes and he adds even somebody who's a tvul yom, who's not really impure, he's just waiting, it's kind of this quasi-purity state. She'ena matame el aposel bavad. He doesn't make them impure, he merely invalidates them for use. Imnaga b'miktsasan pasol eskulan. So if he touches a portion of them, Rabbi Akiva teaches us that he invalidates all of them. The Rambam perish, and the Rambam explains, "Demeidu social Rabbi Shimon lo shamanu shemitztarif ela kli sheyesh lo toch." So the Rambam tells us that we hear from Rabbi Shimon this rule only applies in something that has an interior, for example, a ladle, as in the pasuk. Of a kli she'ein lo toch, but something that doesn't have an interior, lo shamanu shemitztarif. We wouldn't know from Rabbi Shimon that they are considered combined into a single unit. Ubar Rabbi Akiva v'hosif shafilu solas ukataras ulavana v'gachalim she'enan b'toch kli el tziburim u'munachim al luach o al daf she'en lo toch. So any of these things, the flour and the incense and the frankincense and the coals, that they're not gathered together in a vessel that has an interior, but rather they're just gathered together and resting on a board which doesn't have an interior. Hari hen ke'ilu munachim b'toch kli. They're still considered as if they are gathered together inside a utensil. V'nasim ke'ilu hen guf echad, and they're still treated like they are a single unit. V'hagachalim, and the coals. Osan shehakohen gadol chose b'machteh b'yom kippurim. So we're talking specifically about the coals that the kohen uses on Yom Kippur. Im naga tvul yom b'miktsasan. If a tvul yom touches a portion of them, nifsulu kulon, then the entirety of it is invalidated. Umayl asubahen, and this is a special rule they made about the coals that the Kohen Gadol uses on Yom Kippur, she'en ha-gecholim b'nei kibule tuma, because under normal circumstances, coals are not something that can become impure. So this is a special rule that they made specifically for these coals. Let's move on to Mishnah Beis. Heid Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba testified, Rabbi Yehuda HaKohen, and Rabbi Yehuda HaKohen testified, Akitana bas Yisrael shenises l'kohen, that a minor girl who is of an Israelite family who marries a Kohen, shehi ocheles b'truma, that she's allowed to eat truma, kevan shenichnasa l'chupa afalpi shelo nivala. She's entitled to do this simply because she entered the chupa, even though they haven't consummated the marriage. Heid Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zachariah ben HaKatzav. So Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zachariah ben HaKatzav testified, Al Tinokes Shehurhana Ashkelon, regarding a girl who was taken as collateral for a loan in Ashkelon, Vrichakuha b'nei mishpachta, and her family did not want her to marry a Kohen. They felt that she had been violated by her captors, and therefore she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. Ve'edeha me'idim osa, shelo nistra v'shelo nitma. And her witnesses testified that she was never secluded and she was never violated by her captors. Amru lehem chachamim. So the chachamim said to the members of her family who did not wish her to be able to marry a kohen, Im ma'minim atem shehorhana. If you believe the witnesses that she was taken captive, haminu shelo nistara v'shelo nitma, then you should also believe them that she was never secluded and she wasn't defiled. And if you don't believe them that she was never secluded or defiled, you shouldn't believe them that she was taken captive. So this is the same concept we had before of hapesha aser hi hapesha hiter, that the mouth that prohibits something also permits it. So if you're taking their word that she was captured, also take their word that she was not defiled by her captors. Let's look in the Bartonuro. Katana bas Yisrael, a minor girl, the daughter of an Israelite family. Vehi Yisoma, she's an orphan, she doesn't have a father, so she was married off by her mother and brothers. This is therefore a rabbinic marriage, not a biblical level marriage. Kidprishna b'shilia b'kinan de la'el, so we discussed this in the previous chapter. V'hosif kan, k'shinich nasa l'chupa afal pi shelo nivla. And what it adds here is that she only had the chupa, she didn't consummate the marriage. Because from the previous Mishnah, we would only know that she could eat truma if they consummated the marriage, therefore every step of marriage is completed, and now we learn something new. So ve'edeha, her witnesses testified that she was unmolested by her captors. Osan shehadidu shehurhana, they're the same witnesses who testified that she was taken by them as security for this loan in the first place. Haminu shelo nistara v'shelo nitma, you should believe them that she wasn't secluded and she wasn't defiled. V'davka lezos she'edeha me'idim aleha shelo nitma. And that's only in this case, where the witnesses testify that she wasn't molested by the captors. Hudamri rabbanan haminu la. So that's when you say believe her that she tells you this. V'shelo kedin richakuha b'nei mishpachta. And therefore her family members improperly said that she wasn't able to marry a kohen. But in a case where the woman or the girl doesn't have witnesses, kol isha shenichbasha al yidei mamon bizman shiyad hanachrim takifa asura labala kohen. Under other circumstances, if there are no witnesses, then if a woman or a girl is taken captive for the sake of money, then if it's a time and a place where the non-Jews have the upper hand, they're the ones in the positions of authority, then the girl would be forbidden to her husband, the Kohen. Lo shna horhana midayta v'lo shna nichbasha. And it makes no difference if she gave herself over willingly as collateral or whether she was taken by force. Okay, that is the end of Mishnah Beis. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Gimel and Daled.